Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Larry Richard, Unfiltered. This is episode 11 with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland at Market District. This is literally the best place to shop on the planet. There are people that come from other, I'm not going to say other planets to be here.
Well, you never know.
Well, I mean, we are near moon.
I want to get an apartment upstairs to this place. That's my goal.
You know what this is like?
It's like everything I need here.
Everything in the Strip District on steroids plus indoors.
I can't believe the selection. Like, there's beer and wine everywhere you look. Are you sure we're in a grocery store?
It's amazing.
I mean,
it's everything you need. I'm telling you, if I was like Bill Gates and like $1 billion, I get an apartment built. It's all you need. I'd walk downstairs. I have everything. There's even a chef here. I don't need anything.
And
I got parking even.
Yinzer Cards here first in this very market district, Settlers Ridge, which is out in the Robinson, North Fayette area. And it's...
They started us.
I know.
They gave us
and then
break.
We have the Yinzer chocolate bars. We've got the Yinzer on a shelf.
Elf on a shelf, yeah.
The Yinzer elf on a shelf.
And I hear your cards are selling very well.
This is the hottest seller of the season. Yinzer elf on a shelf. Santa sent me down... Well, you read it, Jim. You're a better Yinzer.
Santa sent me down here to make sure Yinzer kids ain't room for Cleveland. See, you hear that?
You know, the funny thing is with the cards, and my mom has got a flu, so she couldn't make it. She's 83, and she goes to all the Giant Eagles, and she actually resets the cards and like she's the manager.
Are we paying her for that?
Well, she thinks she's like a color. Dick told her she's a regional manager. She wants cards and everything. So
she tells people that's my
she'll
son.
Move the card. They'll say, "You, what are you?" And she'll go, "Well, I'm Dick Roberts." I'm in the partner. And they're like, "Oh, okay."
This Yinzer
managing the cars in Chinese.
Elf on a shelf's patterned right after my son, Jimmy.
Exactly.
You know what? It kind of is actually.
Rob Rogers, our extraordinarily talented artist, political cartoonist for 3 decades plus, nationally known. He's the guy behind the magic of the look. So we're excited to be at Market District, Settlers Ridge. And this is one of the first times where we've been out where there are actual people, customers going on.
You said after 10, we're ready to go out.
We're ready.
This is episode 11, you said, right?
We're ready. And by the way, have you noticed a theme here? It seems like every time we do a podcast, we're surrounded by alcohol.
Well, that's
true. It's in my contract.
We've been at
23rd line than 20 feet
on East Carson Street in the South Side, and now here at Market District, and we're excited to introduce you to Paul Abbott. Paul is the man, the mastermind behind Market District now. But you've been with Giant Eagle for how long, Paul?
Good morning, Larry. 32 years now is that I've been working with Giant Eagle.
Started at 12 years old.
Wow. Not too far off, actually. Far off. You know, packing bags and shagging carts.
Literally worked your way up.
Literally worked my way up. And there's a lot of people with Giant Eagle with that story. It's a great place to work. And people do like to stay here for their entire career.
That's pretty cool.
Two things want to thank you for today, inviting us and having us here. We really wanted to be here. And two, we can't thank you enough for what you did for the Yinzer cards and the push for our Yinzer chocolate bars with Saracen. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
You're more than welcome, and we thought it was just a great way to connect the sense of place, right, with Giant Eagle being a Pittsburgh-based company, and then it's just so iconic of Pittsburgh and our customer and our core customers. It seemed like a perfect marriage.
It is pure Pittsburgh, Giant Eagle, because even at least the employees are here for long. I go to the one for the last 5 years. I used to go to Cochran Road when I lived in Green Street. Now I go to the one in the south side. But you see the same employee. You don't see turnover. You right. get to know them. It is like your neighborhood kind of. It's amazing how you can get to be so big, but yet have such an intimacy with the people. And the backbone of this place, in other words, is the people.
I don't know if I told you, Paul. So I have a pretty famous brother-in-law named Dan Marino, right?
I may have heard that.
Hall of Fame, quarterback, Miami Dolphins Pitt. So when he was visiting recently in the past year, I live in the north, so my go-to is Market District Pine. And we would go in there, and he was blown away. And he wasn't just saying it because he's not that kind of guy.
Right.
He couldn't believe. He said, this is so much better. He called his kids, and when they came up to visit, he took them up there to Market District. And he took them to see the Yinzer cards and chocolates and everything else. So I'm going to bring him here
he'll go nuts.
Because Market District Settlers Ridge is really so much bigger. But that's part of the cool thing that
he told me this story on the phone. I was crying because what he said, it was like Dan Marino thinks it's like Disney World. Because yeah. he went up by himself.
You'd see people pushing carts going, that's Dan Marino. Is that Dan Marino?
It looks like Dan Marino.
I know all the people there because, like Jimmy right. says, a lot of them have been there a long time. And so they were like, hey, Larry, is that Dan Marino? I'm like, yeah. He's like 6'4". You know, I look like Yoda standing next to him. But love Market District, and I love the fact that you appreciate the local. It's almost like you're so big, you've reinvented yourself by going local. And we're honored to have Alex Grelli, who is with Wiggle Whiskey. Alex, thanks for coming out today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. You know, partnership with Giant Eagle is a blast. So working with Paul has been a lot of fun, and I think this is something that we're excited to continue into the future.
You sort of paved the way here for whiskey inside grocery stores. I mean, and first distillery in Pennsylvania, and how long?
So we are the first distillery to operate in Pittsburgh pretty much since Prohibition. And that's kind of been, we've been distilling now for over 10 years. And, you know, we wouldn't be able to do what we are doing now if it wasn't for, you know, the support of the community, embracing our product, embracing our brand, as well as, you know, the support of people like Paul, bringing us into the store. You know, those are the things that are really great about Pittsburgh and the general community, is that people do support each other.
You know, I have to say, since we're on camera, Paul, great job holding the mic, man.
Thank you. I've been working hard on it all morning.
We're paying you extra for that, Paul.
I appreciate that.
That's how we got those arms.
Starting a business, you know, it's cool. You know,
so, Alex, I want to know how a guy from San Antonio becomes an adopted Yinzer. How did you get to Pittsburgh?
By way of Chicago. So I met my wife, Meredith, who's also part of the business. And she grew up in the Pittsburgh area. Okay. So we went to school together in Chicago. Ultimately, I probably convinced her to move back to Pittsburgh, but after visiting over the years, I really kind of just fell in love with the city and thought it would be a great place to move.
I was going to ask, like, you're starting a business. What made you go back? How did you start? Why Wiggle Whiskey? How did it start?
Why Pittsburgh?
Why did it start? How did it start to become a whiskey?
Yeah, we were drinking one day, and things just got out of control. But
and it started.
Yeah.
That's how it always starts.
That's how we started.
Exactly.
With a woman from Pittsburgh.
But no, we, you know, it's a family affair, and it was a trip to Niagara-on-the-Lake to, you know, take in the sights there. And we were visiting a bunch of the ice wineries there. It was, okay, you know, this agricultural community centered around a certain product. Meredith and I knew we wanted to be in craft alcohol. That was something that we'd been excited about, trying beer and wine and spirits as they were developing. So seeing that there was a heritage of the winemaking in that region that was very much tied to that region's agriculture, mm-hmm, we were really excited about it. So trying to figure out what that was in Pittsburgh, where we were living at the time, you know, we rediscovered, of course, the history of the Whiskey Rebellion, which took place here in Western Pennsylvania, and the fact that Western Pennsylvania really was one of the first, the birthplaces of American whiskey, in terms of where whiskey was first being made and how much of it was being made in this area. So,
and your name is tied into that as well, Wiggle Whiskey,
because
it's not tied to the song, Wiggle It Just a Little Bit.
Nope.
It's actually a historic name.
That's right. So we named the distillery after Philip Wiggle, or, you know, it was probably traditionally Weigel because he was a German immigrant. And he was a distiller in Western Pennsylvania in the 1790s. And that's when Alexander Hamilton, of course, you know, imposed the first excise tax in the country's history in order to pay off the nation's debts from the Revolutionary War. The tax collectors were coming to, you know, collect the tax on whiskey production. And our guy, Philip Wiggle, who was a little in over his head, but a very, you know, excited distiller, kind of ends up punching the tax collector, and that sparks 4 years of riots and protests that come to be known as the Whiskey Rebellion.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
Awesome.
What's even more terrifying
to me
is Sheila knows all this.
Wait, that's because Sheila did her research.
Sheila's
Larry.
That's why she's an anchor woman.
Yes.
I told you, Wendy. You can't take the anchor woman out of Wendy. Or Sheila, you're Wendy. Well, you'll
but
Wendy.
I still, every time I hear the name Wiggle Whiskey, though, I just want to sing, Wiggle It Just a Little
That's
Bit.
That's right. You know, we mispronounce things here in Pittsburgh, so we thought it would be fun to mispronounce Weigel's name as Wiggle. We get the playful alliteration with Wiggle Whiskey. And, you know, that's just part of the Pittsburgh heritage as well that I think people would understand.
And, absolutely. Paul, when did you discover Wiggle Whiskey and Alex?
So years ago, I just as a consumer, I had stopped in and tried the whiskey and was really a big fan of it. More recently, Meredith and I had just had lunch together to talk about the idea of a possible partnership, knowing that some of the heritage between Giant Eagle and our commitment to local,
right,
and the what Alex just described so well around this tie back to the local agriculture. So when we thought about this, it was a perfect scenario because we are committed into sourcing locally as much as we can across the store, wall to wall. Hmm. But in this space in Pennsylvania, this is a commodity we are not able to sell direct to our consumers. But as a craft distiller, they are.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's actually improving the customer experience of our core customers by making available to them spirits with a partner who has shared values around commitment
You're
to local sourcing.
All right.
And in craft distilling, that's really meant around a quality product.
Mm-hmm.
So it just sounded like a good partnership to begin with. So we just started to brainstorm on the ways to make it happen, and we're able to pull it off.
That's awesome. Very cool. Tremendous. So let's talk about whiskey, because even though I've been around it a long time, what is the difference between certain whiskeys? There's, when you say whiskey, that could be a whole bunch of different things. So how many different flavors is, you don't call them flavors.
Sure. There are a lot of different varieties of whiskey, and whiskey is the general category. And all that means is that it's a spirit that's been distilled from grain. And then the different types of whiskeys are based on what is the predominant grain in the, what they call the mash bill, which is what you actually are cooking and turning into fermentable sugars for the yeast to consume to produce alcohol. So bourbon, a lot of people know bourbon, and bourbon means that it's been made from at least 51% or more corn, along with some other standards, such as the type of oak it's been in. It has to be in new charred oak barrels, and it has to be distilled to a certain alcohol content. So there's other rules, but the predominant characteristic is about that grain. So rye whiskey, of course, is 51% or more rye, and so on. And then you can manipulate the whiskey in other ways, such as one thing that's very popular is to finish your whiskey in specialty casks, whether or not it's, you know, fortified wines like sherry or Madeira, or even something like rum to impart additional flavors into the whiskey that may not traditionally be there, but otherwise pair well with the overall whiskey profile.
But like maple whiskey?
Yes.
How's that? Is that just in the barrels? How do they change the flavor there? I love maple whiskey. It's
so there's different ways you can do it. You can either finish your whiskey in a maple barrel, which we do. So we release a product each year called Phil's Shadow, tied to Groundhog's Day, in which we finish rye whiskey in maple syrup barrels. So look for that in the new year. But you can also flavor whiskey with the maple syrup itself. So we have a honey bourbon, in which we take our bourbon whiskey and we blend in some honey that we source from Bedillion Farm, so a local apiary, and that flavors the bourbon with the honey flavor and sweetness, and so it kind of makes that bourbon something different. It's not just finishing in a barrel that held bourbon. It's actually kind of blending up a new product.
What's your favorite whiskey drink? Like for me, I love an old fashioned. What's your favorite? What do you recommend?
I really like a Manhattan. I think, you know,
those are good too.
It's a classic. It's very straightforward. It hits all the spots for me.
What's in a Manhattan for those that don't know?
So in a Manhattan is your choice of whiskey, and I generally choose rye whiskey for my Manhattans, and then a sweet vermouth, and that's usually, you know, the red vermouths versus the white vermouth. So and those come with all sorts of botanicals that include, you know, wormwood and gentian and other flavorings that kind of create the complexity to the cocktail, almost like your bittering agent. And then you usually top it with a nice Luxardo or Amarena cherry and maybe an orange twist or something.
What's your go-to, Paul, since you discovered this by sampling yourself?
I'm a big fan of the old fashioned. It's just a classic drink and really lets the quality of the spirit come through.
Now, what's this partnership with Great Lakes and some of the other things you're doing, too?
Right. So what's really interesting about whiskey is you basically make beer first, other than you're not adding hops. In terms of beer is made from grain that you're fermenting. But the big difference with beer is you add a hops, and they usually use all malted barley. So beer is made from malted barley, and that's more similar to scotch. But they go through a different process. The fermentation process is different. The grain selection is very different. And so we've done partnerships in which we've distilled beer from breweries, or we've done partnerships in which we source barrels that have held those breweries' beer. So in the case of our product Rudolph, which is the collaboration with Great Lakes Brewing, we source their Great Lakes Christmas ale barrels, and then we finish some of our whiskey in those Christmas ale barrels. And so what you get is some of that kind of nice spice and malt character from the beer kind of finishing off our whiskey in a really pleasant way. In which you can kind of, if you drink them side by side, you can identify some of those flavors that come through.
So you have a pop-up, and where else can people get Wiggle Whiskey?
Right. So, of course, it's easiest to do it when you're shopping for your groceries on a regular basis. So stopping in here is a great way to do it. But we also have a bottle shop location at Ross Park Mall near the L.L. Bean and Cheesecake Factory. And we also have the distillery in the Strip District, in which we do, you know, that's open 7 days a week for picking up bottles, but it also has a restaurant, and you can do tours on the weekends.
I've been there. It's a cool space. That's your old, this my is hunt. His birthplace,
Absolutely.
Strip District.
Absolutely, Strip District guy, man.
I think he made the first whiskey, but it wasn't commercial.
Yeah, little bathtub stuff.
Moonshine.
You know, well, that's what's interesting, making wine takes like a year. A friend of mine makes wine, so it's a year. How long does it take? Is it a year or two? How does it age over many years to make these barrels?
That's right. You have to have patience. There's a lot of what's nice about craft distilleries is they've come up with ways to get whiskey to consumers faster, and that's using smaller barrels because of the ratio of the surface area of the wood to the volume of the whiskey is much higher. So you get that wood flavor and oxidation much faster. But we also use traditional sized barrels, and those take, we're usually emptying those at about 4 years. The whiskey that we're emptying out of those barrels
was made 4 years ago.
Is at least 4 years.
And what year did you start?
We started in distilling in 2011. So,
10 years.
Is whiskey like wine, though? I mean, is it get better as it ages, you know, 10, 20 years on down the line, or does it go bad?
It can go bad in terms of from the perspective of as it's aging, it's evaporating. So you're losing whiskey, and at some point, you may have so little whiskey and it's full of all of these tannins from the oak barrel. So you might have a very oaky whiskey and maybe someone likes it and maybe it's good, but, or maybe it's just really oaky and it dries out your mouth.
So age doesn't really matter.
It can. And a lot of people use it as a proxy to determine whether or not it's a quality whiskey because there are processes that take time in the barrel, such as oxidation. So some of the components that are coming over in the distillation process change as a result of interacting with both oxygen and the alcohol, and that forms new compounds that have different flavors.
It's like science and high-level math all at the same time. Alex Grelli, Wiggle Whiskey, can't thank you enough for coming out to be with us here at Market District Settlers Ridge.
It's been a blast. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm so glad that we are all able to come together here with Paul and Johnny.
You're officially a Yinzer now. So, and then Paul really stamped it when you got Alex to come here. So, Paul, thank you.
Thanks, man.
And we want to meet some other members of your team because not only do they have this beautiful section, but there are a lot of things to eat. So we're going to meet a chef, Chef Ben, next. Again, Alex, thank you.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks,
thank
Alex. You.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland, episode 11 from Market District at Settlers Ridge. We're going to get Paul a Massage Envy gift card to rub his biceps out. All right, you ready? Okay, here we go. Larry Richard Unfiltered with my good friend Jim Krenn and my good friend Sheila Hyland. Let's see, Jim, stand-up comedian, radio legend, producer, writer, actor.
Male model.
He did model for Holy Pictures at one point in
Thank
his
you.
Career.
Yes.
We're still working on him becoming the exorcist in a film to be
Demon on Brownsville Road, so, yeah, Larry's managing right. me.
Get at. Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Why do I even try?
Sheila,
I cannot do a Yinzer.
Highland esteemed journalist, anchor woman.
Esteemed.
I like esteemed,
yes.
Yeah.
And I do steam some glasses here and there, some clothing.
Well, that's a good lead up, steamed, and here we are. Market District Settlers Ridge. We're appreciative, Paul Abbott, who's the man behind the whole thing that's going
and
on here with Market District. And he's
Thank
been extremely helpful. And we introduce you to Chef Ben D'Amico. Ben, are you originally from Pittsburgh?
I am. I'm from Monongahela, and I currently live in 84. So I'm a local...
All the way?
Yeah.
Is that, how far is that from Brownsville? That's far. That's not...
40 minutes or so, 30 minutes.
Did you ever hear about this haunted
there?
House down
demon.
There? The demon at Brownsville
I
Road?
I have not.
Oh, it's unreal.
Is it Brownsville Road?
Yeah, demon on Brownsville Road. Scary stuff.
We'll talk about that another time. But
okay.
They're making a movie.
As we enter this season of food, I married into an Italian family, so I was never exposed to the seven fishes and the meals that Italian Americans, for the most part, prepare for Christmas Eve. So there's Christmas Eve, and then there's Christmas Day. They're different in terms of what dishes are created.
Absolutely.
So let's start with the seven fishes of Christmas Eve. What are those seven fishes?
So the seven fishes actually vary from family to family. It's an American-Italian tradition, and it really depends. Usually it's crab, shrimp, sometimes eel, calamari, mussels, scallops. Really, it's whatever you like. We usually do more than seven, okay. Just because.
So it's not always the seven fishes, it's the seven seafoods.
Yes, and it's tied into Catholicism, and there's a lot of different kind of theories behind how this came up, but it's a meatless meal. So traditionally, it's, you know, no meat products at all. It can be whatever you want. There's usually a pasta, there's usually some kind of potato, some vegetables, and then really it's whatever your family likes. And okay. There's two ways to go. You can kind of go the hardcore traditional, which would be like the eel and the sardines and kind of stuff like that. Or there's more or less the, I guess, Americanized way, which is shrimp, scallops.
Right.
Kind of the stuff that the kids are going to eat,
How
too.
About schmeltz?
Schmeltz, the fried schmeltz.
Oh
yeah, that's a must.
Gosh. So, we did that one time.
I never had a fried schmelt.
Oh,
me either.
We went to midnight mass after the seven fishes, and we cleared a row because the schmelt smelled like, you know.
Like schmelt.
Yeah, like
they schmelt.
They smelled bad.
I never had schmelt.
We kind of cheated on the tradition, too, because one year we got sushi, so we didn't have all, you know, we figured, well, that's a...
Well, that counts as long as you have seven. We always do, you count to seven. If you've gone beyond that, you hit a home run.
There you go.
Do you ever have the Feast of the Seven?
Yeah, I have. I'm half Italian.
How about you,
Sheila? I have never, and I also married into an Italian family for, you know, 27 years, and never...
And you still didn't do it?
No, never tried the seven fishes.
That's... How could you not do that?
I don't know. It was up to them, not me. I'm not Italian. Schnell,
that's good.
So actually, at the time, I didn't like fish anyway, though. I do now. I appreciate it very much, but...
What do you have here, Chef?
So here, we did a couple twists on some products that you may not have, or you may have your Christmas, mm-hmm. or seven fishes. The first is a black squid ink pasta over my aunt. This is my great Antina's recipe. It's braised calamari. It's got some Calabrian chilies in there. It's a little spicy, and a little bit of mushrooms to act as a little buffer between the calamari and you know, the sauce.
That looks amazing. Braised calamari. I don't think I've ever heard of that, but it sounds
delicious.
Well,
you know, usually you see it fried on most recipe on restaurant menus, but this is braised, so you just cook it a little longer. It's nice and tender, and do it with your kind of traditional
what is
sauce.
Calamari, for those that don't know?
Just squid. Just the squid, yeah.
You want some squid.
And what is the pasta?
What's the pasta going to
be? It's a black squid ink pasta. It's by Rustica. Is that right, Paul?
Rusticella.
Rusticella, yeah. It's a product we just brought in actually recently. Awesome. This actually today it just came in the
store. So they're available at Market District. Everything in this
everything
dish. Here.
Everything, yes. Everything was prepared in the store. And again, the calamari is one of my staples. That and the anchovies with olive oil, which is just anchovies, olive oil, butter, a little bit of Parmesan.
Okay.
Those two are like the best dishes that everybody eats.
Yeah.
Even though they're a little odd
right,
for most people.
Up, but still, I know what you mean.
But those are the two. If we're going to have Christmas Eve, we're going to have those two dishes guaranteed at the D'Amico house.
That's your home base.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other one's a newer dish, mussels. So this actually is a sustainable product. It comes out of Maine, and this is a very clean-tasting mussel. It's farm-raised. It's sustainable. And I just did it with some fennel, onions, a little chili pepper, and I actually used some Wiggle whiskey.
Looks beautiful.
So you usually use wine or beer, but since Wiggle was just on, I actually used some of their product, and it gives it that nice little smoky, rich flavor in there. So
Alex
just a little
Grelli will be thrilled to hear that.
Well, with our partnership, we're happy to have them here, but you know, serve that with some a little bit of crusty bread, and you have a nice dish.
You know, I remember I have three brothers, so there were four boys and then my baby sister. And my dad worked three nights a week. When he came home and wanted a snack, I mean, we decimated the kitchen. The one thing he knew wouldn't get eaten would be sardines.
Yeah.
And he would come home and open that can, and we'd all, and he would revel in putting those on a piece of bread and eating them in front. You guys want any? No, we're good.
We're good.
Are sardines part of...
It's funny, actually, I buy that for my dad for Christmas because he's the same way. He's the only one in the house
really?
We eat it. Yeah, it's one of those...
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah,
it is. I think fish that are whole or fish with heads are not the norm for most part, so you kind of got to like them. But yeah, that's one that we'll prepare and he can have.
Jimmy and I were in this little town in Italy called Pizzafra, where Bruno Sammartino is from, and... we traveled there. Do you remember the night we had dinner and I ordered the fish? They call it pesce.
Yes.
And it came.
I was
and
laughing.
It was the whole fish.
I just see the space. The fish was staring at him. Larry's like, what am I going to do? I don't know.
I didn't want to say no. I thought Luca Brasi was going to get me.
I didn't know it was fish. They just caught and just brought in. Like, they didn't even do it.
I think they did it. They call non-Italians metaguns, right?
Yeah, they want to get you.
Non-Italians. So... Ben's laughing, but he knows what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
The Metagon. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. Let's give him that dead fish we found.
Yes, he hit his fish eyes. He gave me that stare. Don't eat me.
All right, let's flip over to Christmas Day. What would be different about Christmas Day when it comes to Italian foods?
So for my background, I'm half Slovak and half Italian. So we kind of do some of those Slovak foods, but really we kind of do straight up American. Like we do the traditional... prime rib, ham, you know, a potato dish, maybe some asparagus, some shrimp or something. I personally think it's so much what you grew up with and what your family continues as your tradition that it really varies from person to person.
Right.
But usually, you know, you hunk of meat at the middle of the table is usually like a must for Christmas, I think. And then usually shrimp cocktail, honestly, is like the two things I would say that's pretty much a staple that I've always had kind of growing up.
You can't go wrong with shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
What made you get into the food industry and become a chef?
So my mom tells a story. My parents weren't great cookers. They weren't great cooks. They made five or six dishes, and it kind of forced me from a very young age, being the oldest of four, to kind of
be creative.
Take this on myself, yeah, and start to make some food.
Go beyond Fish Stick Friday.
Exactly. So
Mrs. Paul's. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Every Friday of my life.
That's right. Thank you. That's a Pittsburgh thing, I think. Fish Stick Friday.
So that's what got me into the world of food and went
they
to school.
Must
and
love you now.
Oh, yeah. It's
like,
it's
come
funny.
On, cook for us.
Having a background in food, it always gives you something that people want to talk to you about,
sure,
relatives. So, you know, there's a person in banking. Sure. How's you doing? Great. When you're in food, they want to talk to you about everything and anything. Here's my cookie recipe. Here's this. Here's that. They want to share. So I've been lucky enough to get a lot of the generational knowledge passed down to me.
Did you have the artistic talent when you started? Did you feel it? You know what I mean? You could feel
yes.
Like, you know, feel being a comedian. You could feel it.
I was six or so, and I'm like, I want to do this. This is my career. This is what I, yeah, you have that passion. Uh-huh. And that's translated so well for my time at Market District. Yeah, yeah.
So when it comes to the holidays, though, do they expect you to be the chef every year?
Oh, yes. Everything, but I get Thanksgiving off. Thanksgiving's the only holiday. I don't have to. My mother-in-law does that. I don't have to touch a thing. Every other holiday, I'm pretty well expected
but can
to.
Can you help yourself from kind of critiquing everything you eat when somebody else makes it?
Yes. I'm immersed in food all the time, so it's kind of nice to have a break. But you know what? I've never been judgmental about food. I love all sorts of everything from fast casual to high-end to do-it-yourself to local, regional, whatever. I'm a food person, so I'm not judgmental.
It's probably not work for you, though.
No, it hasn't been. No, it's that passion. It's the love of food, and I love to eat, so that also helped. I love to shop. I mean, I was go with my mom to the grocery store all the time.
Yeah,
and what Ben just articulated is really at the essence of what Market District is. We are about this culture of passion for food and how it brings people together, and it just everybody has to eat. And we love the idea of just exploration of food, making it fun and unexpected, which leads to the story around Dan shopping in our Pine Store. It's the things you didn't know you could see in food, and
right.
it's such a compelling thing to really to get behind and to provide for our customers. It's
one
amazing.
Of the,
it's
fun. I think one of the greatest things, one of the greatest joys for me, and I think for many people. And we've lost some of this on a daily basis with our own families, where when we grew up, you had to be at dinner with the whole family, which could be good and bad. It depends how many people you had in your family and what the situation was at the time. But I still love dinner with family and friends, especially when, like, we've traveled, you know, Jim,
yeah.
And been with and meet new and interesting people, and you're sharing a love of food and good drinks. So
it's nice having... It'd be able to, with these times, people are so busy. It's nice being able to get it all in one market, one area, get everything you need, basically, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking, too, that, you know, you could come here to the Market District, and we can eat what you've prepared for us, so we don't have to do it ourselves.
Yeah, a lot of that is pre-done, or we give you the recipes or the knowledge. Again, we talk about seafood. You go back and you talk to the fishmonger and say, hey, what do you got? Here's what's fresh. Here's what's coming in.
Right.
And sometimes they have recipe ideas. Or more or less, it's also just sharing what they like. You know, food's very personal. And it's there's that sense to nourish. And that's what we have with a lot of our team members is that sense that I'll tell you what I like. This is my passion. Maybe it's not what you like or
right.
what doesn't work for you. But it's just that open sharingness of that love of food.
Well, before we move on, because we want to talk about some other foods that you... have prepared and have some ideas for us. Just real quick on the dessert part.
Oh, yeah.
The Italian, I love those pizzelles.
Yes.
You know the pizzelle.
I love them,
but without anise. I don't like the anise.
Really?
In the pizzelle.
That's the traditional
no.
way. See,
that's
no.
That's the old school with the anise. You
yeah.
can have it without, though.
You sure. can have it in many different flavors, but that's
yeah.
that's just like the fish heads and stuff. Anise is one of those things a lot of people don't care for. So leave it out. It's fine.
There was an old-time restaurant in Shadyside called Pasta Piatta. You remember that,
Yes,
Jim?
I do, yeah.
And
absolutely.
They had, what they did was simple dessert. They had a pizzelle with a little white powdered sugar in an Italian ice that you would dip and scoop. It's really good. I noticed the Italian ice and sorbet things also cleanse your palate, I guess, between...
Yes.
Different dishes? Is
yeah,
that...
it's a nice refresher, whether it's a gelato or a sorbetto. It's just a nice little break from, you know, the heavy cookie or the cake or anything else in the meal.
You know what else with desserts? I know it's so different. Every place I get tiramisu is a little different. It's got a little bit of whatever.
Yep.
Your own style?
It is. Again, I think Italian goes back to, like, the grandma who came over on the boat. Yeah. Like, that's my story. And nothing was written down. So the traditions and the recipes that pass on from person to person, eventually somebody does
right.
write it down,
right.
but it's never the same at the first.
Yeah.
So you have all these variants
so
of the
like
same
that
kind
old
of recipe.
Telephone game where you
yes.
start a message, and by the time you get to the other side, it's a different message.
Yeah, and especially Italian sauce, too. It's different.
Oh, yeah.
Every grandmother makes it different.
Well, I think the best compliment you can also get is when a relative or family member says, oh, that's like grandma used to make, because it's actually very hard to replicate that.
Right. I used to watch my grandmother. It's amazing. Like, she throw pinches in it. How do you know? Their mouth and everything. They just know.
They just know.
We're with Chef Ben D'Amico and Paul Abbott, Market District, Settlers Ridge, and we got some more things to talk about. Who doesn't love food? You love food.
Of course I love food.
I'm
going to
ask you your favorite dish. Don't tell me now.
All right.
Paul, okay. Ben, hang on. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. Episode 11. We got more to talk about for your tastes. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, Episode 11, Market District, Settlers Ridge. This is a fabulous place. We want to again thank Paul Abbott, who is now the mastermind behind all this with the company 32 years. But this store opened in 2009?
2009, that's right.
And I was here. Our producer is Dick Roberts, and Dick had me do these little video vignettes in the different departments. And do you remember? And Chef Ben D'Amico, you've been here since the very beginning.
I've been with Market District for 13 years. Actually, we did a gelato shoot together.
That's
right. It was
right.
One of those promos. I remember over in the gelato station when I was here, me and you did that promo together.
I still have those. I saved those little video vignettes because this was such a new concept for people because of the traditional grocery store. And then this is so much more than that. And how would you describe that, Paul, to anybody that says, well, what makes Market District different?
So really, at the end of the day, the phrase passion for food is really at the essence of this. So we're not a specialty store because we want to be super approachable to everybody and not feel that it's fancy. Right. But we also want to make sure that it feels like an exploration and discovery of food and how can it enhance your everyday lives. Everybody's eating and it brings people together and it's just ways to take what you're doing already today and really elevating it, turning it into a remarkable experience. So it should have great taste. It should have an element of learning, exploration that makes you just feel really engaged in part of that. And we like to do all the work on how we procure and where, you know, we'll scour the world really for some of the best food and where we can locally.
But I appreciate how you really try to focus on the local when you can.
It is true. The thing that intrigues me is it's every time I've gone to, you know, trying to go to Market District, it's just so fresh. And so that must be, there's an art to that, isn't it? It's really quality too. Also, you really have to taste test and try a lot of, I could be your taste tester, by the way, but you have to taste a lot of different food.
You see how
that's
involuntary
the hard part of the job.
For that?
But still, yeah.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time trying and talking with vendors and companies and trying a lot of stuff. There was one point in my career I had to eat 2 pounds of butter because it was all different flavored butter.
Oh.
So, yeah, it sometimes it's a little overwhelming, but, yeah, you have to try it. You have to talk to the vendors. We love to partner with local companies and just good companies that share a common message or a common passion for food.
Ben, I'll give you my phone number. If there's ever a butter day or any problem like that, I'll come out and help out.
Yeah, we can work out something.
How many square feet is the Market District Settlers Ridge?
So this store with the second floor level, I think, comes in just under 150,000 square feet.
150,000 square feet. You're getting lost.
It really is amazing, and it was built with the intention of being a true destination for food,
right,
and health-related. We have, of course, we have a robust pharmacy business, as you know, but we have a cooking school upstairs. I mean, there's other things that we do here that we dedicated some of that space to okay. really get around that idea around exploration and discovery and education of food. So this store is truly special to us, and when we opened it was really meant to be the destination of food in the Pittsburgh area.
Well, it certainly has been and continues to be. We appreciate being here. So Chef Ben, let's talk about some of the things you brought. This is it pronounced charcuterie?
Charcuterie.
Charcuterie.
At least I think so.
How do you say
am I correct?
Charcuterie. Charcuterie. Is correct, yeah.
I got to be honest. I never heard that word till I was much older. Like, we didn't have charcuterie down.
No, when I see it on the menu, I just always say charcuterie.
but most people know charcuterie as meats and cheese. That's the basic. It's a meat and cheese platter with a little bit of fruit. So the charcuterie is the fancy way. It's like saying a vegetable tray, but calling it crudité. Right?
How is this different? I mean, so Italians call it antipasta, sort of.
Yes.
But it's the cheese and...
It's the combination. It's a French word. It's just something, it just makes it feel fancy. But you know what? Cheese and charcuterie doesn't need to be fancy. This actually, what we have is all local products. So we were talking about local earlier. These are three different creameries we buy from today. Goat Rodeo, Pasture Made, and Clover Creek, all local to Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
And we did a couple cheeses from them. And then also Parma, which is down the strip. We have a couple of their soprasada, soprasada for your Italians, some speck or some copa seca. And then, you know, local, some fruit, some crackers. Those kind of make up the rest of the charcuterie. But I also like to hit it with a little bit of mustard. We have a local mustard, Miller's mustard, which is a banana pepper mustard. If you haven't tried it, it's great on sandwiches.
Banana pepper mustard.
Banana pepper mustard.
That sounds amazing.
And local honey. This is Bedillion Farms local honey here. So all this kind of works together to make a symphony of different flavors and textures. And, you know, being from Pittsburgh, you got to love pickles. I think it's kind of in your blood. So we have local, the Pittsburgh Pickle Company. And then we also have, I think Paul and I are big on, is Cleveland Kitchen. They do a lot of great products that Paul's been very involved in. So we've tried to represent that on a plate here.
You know what's great about charcuterie boards, too, is that you don't have to cook anything. And you can put anything on the charcuterie board. Just lay it out there and people will be happy and they'll nibble at it all night long if you're having a party.
Absolutely. That's, again, if you're cutting it up in cubes or you're using different textures, flavors, different sizes, it's kind of make it what you want.
We love heat. Pittsburghers love heat. There's a little heat in there.
Cocktail sauce?
Right? Because I tried a shrimp with the, what is in the cocktail sauce?
I'm like, your face is getting red.
Yeah.
It's got some heat. I love it. Yeah.
So, Paul, do you want to talk about the cocktail sauce?
Yeah, sure. So many of the listeners may not be aware, we have a store in Carmel, Indiana, in central Indiana. And in downtown Indianapolis, there's a famous steakhouse called St. Elmo Steakhouse. It's been there for almost 120 years now.
Yeah.
They're famous for their cocktail sauce and shrimp cocktail appetizer. So when we first started to explore that market, anywhere we build a store, we want to own and learn that local community. Right. It led us to this cocktail sauce, and it's been part of that community for so many years.
Really? Okay.
And we're really, it's exceptional in every way, but it has this unique hot horseradish kick that is unmatched and has a little tiny hint of sweetness to kind of balance it. And the first one is really intense, but then it makes you want to go back for the next one.
Yes.
As soon as it's done. So it creates that craveability that
Even
is really interesting.
Speaking,
so
Paul, I went back for the second
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
It bites you a little at first, and you're like, wow,
right.
That's
so
really good.
It goes back to that what we're all about, that exploration and discovery of food is something that's just, it's ordinary, but it's a twist
that's
interesting.
So this is part of your job, Paul, where you've got to go and discover these things too, right, Chef?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's actually, Paul was one of the lead innovators on going out to Carmel and setting up all these local and new vendors that we've had some success bringing back into the other markets. So it's great, again, to share what's local there to what's local in our Ohio stores and our Pennsylvania stores.
Yeah, and the original Giant Eagle was here, right, Paul?
That's right. Yeah, we've been a Pittsburgh company for our entirety of, I think, almost 90 years now.
Wow.
And how many employees now do you have?
I think we're in the mid 30,000 range.
Whoa.
So I don't know the exact number. It's well over 30,000 employees that all really are committed to the same idea of serving our communities and being trusted to serve food to their families.
It's phenomenal. You're almost 90? How many years?
Almost 90 years now.
That's amazing.
It really is.
Yeah, and the family still involved, the original families, I mean, that goes back a long time.
Since the beginning, and I think that's part of that family culture we touched on earlier in the episode,
right.
Why we have the retention we do, why we have the team members who care so much about what they do, and why we make careers out of this and stay here.
I'll tell you the other thing, my brother-in-law, who's been living in Florida a long time, one of the things he said, taking him to Market District in Pine, is we got back in the car and he goes, people are so nice. I'm like, well, where do you shop,
really?
But he said it's different because in Florida, for most case, everybody's from somewhere else. You don't have that community neighborhood feel. Have you experienced that too?
Absolutely, yeah. And as you said earlier too, it's the same employees. You get to know them, the people that are checking you out. And I remember when I first moved to Pittsburgh in 88, and I came to a Giant Eagle. First of all, I was floored by the name. I was like, where did that name come from? I couldn't believe that there was a store where you could get food, you could do your dry cleaning, you could get a lottery ticket, you could do your banking, anything you needed. It was right there. I'd never seen a store like that before.
It's been something that really it's about solving solutions for customers and guests. It's, you know, what could make their lives easier and really, again, use food as the hub of what we all need and bring us together and make life easier
but
for you.
You and your team have made so many innovations, too, with all the different ways that you can, certainly over the COVID pandemic, we still have to eat. And I want to give all of your team members credit for being here for us, because they have been through the thick and thin. Right, Jim?
Absolutely, Larry. They had, you know, they were exposed to all the people.
Right.
They had their masks on, but they were there for
their
us
special
through
group
the entire pandemic. That's a great point, Larry.
And you had the curbside pickup, which increased tremendously. But you had that set up before, so you were poised for success there. But you also had that way where you can scan your stuff while you're shopping.
That's right. We have a culture of continuous innovation at Giant Eagle and certainly at Market District. And we've been in that e-commerce space with curbside, either click and collect at the curb or now home delivery and other ways to improve that checkout experience too. So we were well positioned to serve customers through the pandemic.
And that said, Chef, tell us about some of the other things. I know you want to talk about some non-traditional dishes.
Yeah, non-traditional. But I'm going to start with the shrimp, though, because I kind of, we talked about, please, that's always been shrimp. It's always been Christmas Eve, Christmas Day for me and my family. Yeah. This shrimp was actually swimming down off the coast of Florida 48 hours ago.
Whoa.
This is a brand new product for us. It's from a company called Sun. They're a farm-raised, sustainable. They're the most sustainable shrimp you can buy in the United States. That's a fact. And they ship it to us within 48 hours. It's harvested and shipped, and it's in our stores. And that's a head-on shrimp, which you never really see out there, which is just a really cool thing to have.
Yeah, I'm seeing the eyes.
There you go.
Sort of like your experience your fish, in Italy.
Yeah.
Not for everyone.
Only smaller.
But still, that's as fresh as you can get right there.
Yeah, so that's what we have, and it's just cocktail style, and it's served with that St. Elmo's, which is just that kick. But that's, you know, we strive for sustainability and best practices where we can at Market District, and this is a great one for the holidays because, again, I don't know if it's Christmas without shrimp, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
I've always had shrimp, even when my family was just roast beef and potatoes for the most part. Until I met the Italian-American side of my wife's family. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you also have people that are trying to pair up foods. Do you know anything about wine, Chef?
I'm not the biggest connoisseur. Paul Waymore, we've had many discussions together with it. I enjoy wine, but I'd say drink what you like.
I'm with you.
You know what?
Doesn't that just make sense?
I put like they say, don't put cheese on seafood, but I put cheese on almost of my seafood. It was on that calamari earlier. So, like, amazing, white is supposed to go with most seafood, but if you have a red you like and it balances, it works. I mean, that's my take on it.
What do you say, Paul? Because I know you have all the wines available here now. It's been a few years since that's even been a possibility.
That's exactly right. And in Ohio, we are a leading merchant of wine there because of the laws are different there, of course. But Ben's exactly right. Drink what you like. There is an element of how can it enhance the experience if you do get those magical pairings. So it's not to say you can't do anything,
right?
But when you do the combinations,
give us a couple.
So of course, when you think about holiday dinner, Ben talked about the hunk of meat, right? People are going to order prime rib. You're going to have that rich, very fatty flavor. Yeah. It's going to pair classically with a Cabernet Sauvignon or perhaps a Bordeaux blend, red, robust. It'll help cut through that fat and enhance that flavor. As an example,
okay.
When you start to get into some of the charcuterie things, I'd like to recommend almost any white sparkling wine.
Okay.
Because again, you start to get into some elements of variations of flavors because you're dealing with cured meats, your cheeses, and some mustards, and sometimes that sparkling wine will kind of it creates a craveability, but then cuts through some of the fat elements that make this stuff so delicious. Mm. So it's a way to kind of. It is festive, certainly, for the holidays, but I think folks don't drink sparkling wine often enough for everyday occasions because it really does pair extremely well with a wide range of foods, and it gives you that flexibility.
What's your go-to wine, Sheila?
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Cabernet?
Every time.
Jimmy?
Anything in a box.
You get that Franza box wine.
All about the volume.
How about you, Chef Ben? What do you like? Do you like a good wine?
A Pinot Grigio is probably my go-to because I cook with it more than I do drink with it. So,
here's the way I look at that. We talked about this before. I figured if Jesus could make wine, I'm in. So, but no one ever says it. Doesn't say in the Bible whether it's a white or red.
Good
right?
point.
Or a Zinfandel.
You're right.
Good point.
No, they never say it.
I will say, though, with the charcuterie board, though, I think red and cheese can't be beat.
They're eating fish. I'm going white.
That'd is that white true? Wine, white with fish?
Traditionally.
Generally?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So you said the reds with the meats. fish would be the whites.
Those are always good, safe bets and easy way to navigate through. What gets interesting is when you have the what it's prepared with, right? So the fish itself can sometimes often be delicate, but the preparation can also get it, you know, if you start to use bold flavors, and then you might want to think about that. So it's a never-ending exploration. It's one of the reasons why people enjoy things like wine or cheese. You'll never learn everything there is to know.
You're the Jacques Cousteau of food and great drinks.
Yeah.
Right here, Paul Abbott.
Yeah.
Wow.
Without the French accent. Ben's going, oh, I got this one. Chef Ben Amico, since the beginning here, Market District, Settlers Ridge, can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
And I know Rick Dolnack, our famous actor who helps us out, is here. Jim Patulski, who is our engineer and does a great job. They're hoping that they can linger a bit before you remove this great food you've prepared.
I'll get doggy bags for everybody.
Get a sample. Yes. And we want to thank our producer, Dick Roberts, and Paul, again, thank you.
Microphone drop.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Jacques.
I'm going to keep working on even enhancing my microphone skills.
You're part of the show now.
And you can cater. Catering, right?
Absolutely. Uh-oh. Catering is a huge platform of growth for us. Ben has really worked hard on developing that capability and the menu that we have there. And you should really think of us for almost any occasion. If you need food, please think of us, because we can make it happen.
You make a lot of people. You know, not a lot of jobs give you the opportunity to make people happy. You make a lot of people happy every day.
Yeah. I'm a happy guy, and I think that's a great thing to share that love and that passion through food. And anytime you can brighten somebody's day, whether it's a smile or for food, it's worth it.
And you do have a great smile, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you do. It's very genuine. Benvenuti nello associazione italiana americana desport.
Whatever.
Ciao.
No capisce.
Sheila Highland, Jim Krenn. I'm Larry Richard, Unfiltered with Paul Abbott, Market District, Settlers Ridge, and Chef Ben. Thank you, guys. Have a great holiday season ahead.
Same to you guys. Thank you so much.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.